buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts. Podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Gloucestercast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro, and his crew of merry castaways. No piping plovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's having a good day. We are live. It is Gloucestercast 455. I copy the link address and drag it over to Good Morning Gloucester for our viewers and updates. And hi, good morning.
It is good morning, everyone.
December 27th. Let me just do one other thing here. Unpin from the top of the page. Okay, we can close this and we're back. We have a podcast virgin with us today. Let me just go over a couple of the things. First of all, we have where's Scotty Mack? Is Scotty Mack coming
on? He's going to come and come back in because he was having trouble.
Oh, he's probably taking a poop or something. Gloucestercast 455, we have coming on later, Ben Loomis, superintendent of schools. Matthew Murray is down in the bottom right corner right there. He's our podcast virgin today. We have Jeff Guzzi, who's going to be on a little bit later. Scotty Mack's going to be with us. Jim Capillo is helping out with the setup. Pat and Jimmy Dalpiazza here. Pat is manning the keyboard as far as the chat comments and stuff like that. Nicole Schraft is playing hooky. McCarthy is with us, and his audio and his video this week, huge upgrade.
Thank you. Huge.
So much.
Good morning, Joe, and happy birthday.
Michael Bertolino, Joanne Wood, thank you for sharing, whoever's sharing it. We have a prize today. If you are on the podcast, you share it through Facebook on your link. You type in shared. You are entered to win this awesome prize from Maritime Gloucester, the 2021 Maritime Gloucester calendar. So you have a chance to win that at the end. We pick one randomly from all the people that type to share it and type shared. Matthew, I don't see that you've shared it yet.
I'm getting there.
All right.
I'm getting there. And hey, you know what? If any opportunity to start 2021 sooner, right?
That's right. Get it going. So Matthew's our first guest today. And I randomly, Matthew, did you used to go lobstering or something?
Nope.
No.
Did
I know you in a former life?
I think we've been Facebook friends for a while, and I'm around town, so you know, maybe my face pops up here and there.
Okay.
Where I just have one of those faces.
So randomly though, you have an Instagram page called Cape_Ann_History that somehow came across my feed, and you find these interesting stories and photos and artifacts about the area, and you share them on your Instagram page. And there's a lot of things on there that I had no idea about. And so I imagine for our viewers, there's some pretty interesting things. Tell us briefly a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in Cape Ann history and sharing it.
So, I'm from here. I've lived my whole life here in Gloucester. The fascinating thing about basically where I got started is, I'm sure everybody's seen them, is those old Gloucester the photo books that the one of the banks put out back in the 70s, and I was flipping through one of those when I was a little kid, and it's kind of like a and this is why books like this sell very well, is because it's jaw dropping because it's you look at an image of a place that you know very well, like Middle Street or the hospital, and it's the angles are all there, everything's very similar, but it's a little jarring and almost a little disconcerting, not in a horror movie kind of way, but things are a little bit different. And so that's how I got started with collecting images and looking into, how things have physically changed, the landscape that we live on, the stage that we live on. And when it comes to the stories, I kind of grew up kind of inside of one. I grew up on the property of Tammy Younger, the witch who supposedly, the story, you know, one of the more famous Dogtown stories, the witch who supposedly could curse the ox coming over the bridge on the way to Dogtown, so then, you know, that she would curse them until someone would give her a fish or a log or something that she needed. So that's a story I grew up with, and combining, you know, images and stories as best as possible is just seemed like a natural thing to be able to tell stories, especially the medium of Instagram or Facebook allows us to tell tell stories that are easily digestible by an audience that doesn't necessarily have a long attention span, by an author or interpreter who doesn't have a long attention span either. I started putting some together with this Instagram feed to see if there was any interest. And it's actually and we got there's some interest. I'm starting to get an idea. I haven't posted a whole lot this year because wouldn't you know, it's been a weird year. But I will say I'm already starting to get an idea of what people like and what's popular. We were talking a little bit earlier, and I got an image here from some of Gloucester's transit history. Today we can drive anywhere, and if we don't feel like driving, you can take a CATA or a taxi. A few people know that Gloucester used to be ringed by a trolley service, and for some people that sounds like like a rocket to the moon. How foreign it sounds. That always gets a good response because people just imagine what it would be like to take a trolley at 10 miles an hour. You'd get about halfway to Lanesville and you think, can this thing go any faster? Is what you'd think. There's a couple of things here and there. Some true crime, Gloucester true crime. Gloucester is not exactly New York in the 70s, but we do have some interesting true crime, Law and Order and Dateline NBC and all of these true crime documentaries wouldn't do so well if people weren't at least a little bit fascinated by true crime. And actually, I have to give a shout out to Larry Ingersoll and Mark Foote for their book on the history of Gloucester's police department there behind the badge, because I pulled a lot of stories out of there.
Did you get permission from them to post their story?
I'm plugging their book.
There you go. you share his Instagram, the link to his Instagram feed on the in the notes.
Do that right now.
We're gonna put a link to Matt's Instagram page, so when this is all over, it'll still be you'll be able to find the link and go to it. Do you want to put up any images on the screen and you can describe them?
I can. Let me just figure out how this whole sharing thing starts, and I'll go with a few of the really relevant ones, a few of the really cool ones, and the ones that stand out here. So we're just talking a little bit there because it is kind of fun. The really fun one is the trolley one, and did I open that twice? Yes, I did. Okay, and now I've closed it twice. There we go. So one thing here, there we go, and share. So did that just share to my, did I just
share? I got it right now, hold on.
All right, great.
Is that me? Okay. There you go. I'm gonna make that. There you go. Great.
So this is great. This is this is the Long Beach Pavilion over at Long Beach, where Rockport meets Gloucester. And back in the, you know, this is from about the Edwardian era, from about the turn of the 20th century here. You could take the trolley. it was a process of eventually connecting the entire loop. But one of the first things that you could do is you could get a trolley over to the beaches, which was, even for people downtown, a long walk, especially if you're wearing three layers of woolen clothes, as you were supposed to for modesty reasons in the 19th century. And this is kind of a little bit of there's two revolutionary things going on here at the same time. The idea that you could get over to Long Beach inside an hour, and also the notion that as technology was developing in the late 19th century, there was even middle class people existed, and that there was such a thing as a leisure class beyond just the ultra wealthy. And so this is not quite as big as, say, the pleasure areas here in Gloucester were not quite as big as, say, going down to Revere Beach and getting on the train and going down to the to Wonderland, as it were, as that existed until the 60s. But we had these spaces in Gloucester that people don't necessarily remember. And it's kind of a little funny because one of those places, I can bring a picture up another time. I just hadn't pulled them all up, and I didn't want to pull up 100, 150 this today. But one of the places that was very common was down on Pavilion Beach, and there was a building very much like the Long Beach Pavilion here. On Pavilion Beach on Commercial Street in Gloucester as early as the Civil War. And I always thought it was a little funny when people were talking about, quote unquote, preserving Gloucester and not letting them build the Beauport Hotel. And like, well, you know, if you really wanted to talk about preserving Gloucester and going back to the way it used to look, you'd want this. because it was a big pavilion with a huge deck looking out over the harbor. And it's like, well, you know, as it happens. So that was something that you'd do on a Saturday afternoon. It was 90 degrees and nobody invented air conditioning yet. And you're wearing, you know, like I said, like you're wearing, you know, underwear that feels more like a Christmas sweater. So that was, you know, over time that was replaced with, if you can see it here, we have a great picture of some guys, some Navy guys hanging out here on the hood of a bus here, if you can share it. You can see it there or?
No, it's not there yet. No.
Let me see here. I just,
it closed.
There we go. There we go. I figured it out. Share. There it is.
Okay. I will highlight that. All right. And what are we looking at now?
So the thing was is that the trolleys lasted for about 25 years here in Gloucester, from about the mid-1890s till one day in 1920. One day, one Friday in 1920, the trolley service was suspended. And then following Monday, the buses showed up. It was just like that. It wasn't like, if you ever have seen a picture of, you can find these on all over the internet of Boston, how Boston progressively took out their streetcars to the point where you have the MBTA system that we have now. Gloucester, you know, the tracks were probably still in the ground for, and in fact, some places still are, as we discovered a couple of years ago when they were digging up Washington Street. And they found the trolley tracks in the middle of Washington Street, near the corner of Pearl and Railroad Avenue when they were doing as they are still doing the endless digging that they're doing over there. So the trolley tracks are still under there, but it was one day in the summer of summer precisely 100 years ago where they suspended service, and the next day the buses showed up. Which had a little bit different safety regulations, as you can see here. if you're bold enough to sit on the fender, apparently no one would get in the way, get in your way. And as you can see, the guys were actually in the doorway there, actually holding on tighter. The guys on the fender might actually be safer. So that's always a fun one. Some of the other ones.
Sorry to interrupt you, Matthew.
Just real quick
before you move on to the next photo. I love that photo, by the way. Nice job digging that up.
Oh, I'll shoot it over to you if you want.
Is there any known, relics of that around the city? Do you know if there's any of that vehicle around for restoration project or anywhere?
So, there might be some here and there. The trouble is, you know, people junk things real fast. You know, the thing that always blows my mind is you watch any old movie or an actual movie or even just camera footage, and if you see a junkyard from like the 40s, 50s, or 60s, especially the 50s and 60s, when the cars got big, you know, the cars that we consider like classics now, the cars that'll sell for, you know, $60,000 or $70,000 if somebody's been keeping them up, and you see a junkyard, there's all these cars in there that are only like 5, 10 years old, like, you know, either got a minor fender bender or somebody went out and got a new car and they junked it quick. So unfortunately, you know, we still, you know, whether the 20th century was like this or whether we still like this, a lot of this stuff got junked real fast. So preserving it is a little bit trickier, especially with these trolleys. Like, there's a few museums around the country, like the one up in Kennebunk, Maine. They've grabbed whatever they could, but they would grab things from bigger cities if they could at times. Obviously, you know, we're talking about, you know, with our trolleys, they unfortunately, like I said, stopped running a century ago. So it might be, and that was a long time before these museums existed, where people thought of these. I mean, people, it is strange. There's always going to be somebody who thinks of something as being, you know, this might be a collector's item someday. Sometimes people are right and sometimes they're wrong. When Boston got rid of a lot of their old trolleys, and if you're familiar with the really old trolleys that still run on the Mattapan line, Boston had 30 or 40 of those up until the late 80s, and they got rid of them all at the same time. And you might have seen a photo of this at some point. They were all bought out by this guy in Western Pennsylvania, and he got them onto his property in Western Pennsylvania, and they've been sitting on tracks that he made for his collection in the woods. Wow. In Western Pennsylvania for 35 years now. And when they were placed, they were already kind of in bad shape because they'd already been sitting for 2 or 3 years, which is really bad. Like, you know, even worse than if you had a car sitting for 2 or 3 years. But now, you know, at this point, they're barely holding their frames. So finding, you know, finding relics like that is exceedingly rare, and I don't think there's any.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for answering my question.
Sorry, I answered 2 or 3 questions.
That was very informative. Thank
you. You can talk. This guy's professional, right here.
Matthew, quick question. Of all the research that you've done, what's the most interesting piece of Gloucester history that we should know?
So, you know, the funny thing is that there's a couple of things that really change the perspective on. So we all grew up and barring being raised with, you know, with stories on the knee on grandpa's knee that are, you know, academically researched. We accept sort of the reality of where we are as sort of a, you know, not out of ignorance, well, not out of a malignant ignorance, let's say, but out of a passive ignorance. We accept the reality of where we are as being very, very permanent. And I, to some degree, I think that also makes us, that's one of the things that makes us resistant to change, even good change. And so we kind of assume that the world is, you know, as it is in heaven, as it has been from the beginning, as it is now and ever shall be. When you are confronted with things that make you realize how things have changed, and then once you do that, you start confronting the why things have changed, and you start going like, you know, mind expansive. You start understanding how was the different perspective. The trolleys and the transit line I brought on today because it's fun. It's, you know, because it's a way, it's something that people just go, wow, that was a thing. You know, why I was looking at, Gloucester's population growth, for example, in the mid 19th century. And frankly, we don't have gold, but we had, we did have fish. And Gloucester's population tripled in 40 years. It's a boom town. It's a boom town. It's about the same time as the boom towns were going up out west. It's about the same time from 1850 to 1890. It was the same time that San Francisco was going from a place that's about the size of Gloucester is today to a place that's largely the size that San Francisco is today, at least how much of that peninsula geographically sits on. And it really shows you, you know, how we went from kind of the back of beyond. You know, there's a reason why the old road, Route 1, what we call Route 1 or Route 1A, you know, sort of goes through Salem and then kind of bypasses us, you know, at least the colonial road. But in the 20th century, they made sure that the highway got out here because things, our place in the world had kind of changed and become much more important. And seeing that is eye-opening.
Yeah. No, that,
they realized how good we were.
No, these are great. So Matthew, what I'd like to do is have you on like once a month.
Great. And
have like a couple of slides. Pat, can you share the link again in the show, in the, mm-hmm. in the thing there? And yeah. I really want to thank you for coming on. People, you after the podcast, we don't want you to leave the podcast, but after the podcast, you're going to have this link. I want you to check out his Instagram page because I guarantee you, you'll find it fascinating, like I did. And we really thank you for coming on, Matthew.
Great.
Thank you,
should
man.
I stick around, or what do I do here?
we're gonna give you the gaff, like in the old movie.
All right.
Like exit stage left. Thank
All
you.
Right,
so
great.
Much. You were great, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. He was fantastic, wasn't he?
It is an awesome page.
It's a great page.
I hadn't seen it until you shared it. So
it is. Yeah.
Now I'm enjoying it very much.
Yeah. And when we shared it, I kept track of how many followers the page had.
Oh.
And he picked up quite a few.
I have a question, guys. Where's the junkyard that would have something like he was talking about the old cars and.
It used to be Linsky's.
I don't think they do it anymore.
Now they got Shawno's.
Shawno's, yeah, up in North Gloucester.
Go see Blinky.
Blinky. So there's that. So we got a bunch of topics that we're gonna get to right now. First of all, let's do a little Christmas recap. Anybody have any interesting Christmas stories to share?
Well, I just think it was great for Zoom. God bless Zoom. If we didn't have Zoom, I don't know how we would have not seen my family, Scoony Boo Boo, because besides all the snow that was all over the place, people weren't getting anywhere. It was just great that you can sit there and do all, you know, the Zoom. So thank you, Zoom, for not crashing and burning on Christmas Day.
I thought it might. I was waiting for there to be glitches.
I thought that Jim was the ghost of Christmas past. All I heard was his voice. I didn't see him.
On that second camera.
Yeah, we're working on it. Second camera. We're doing our whole social distancing thing right now.
I am your worst nightmare, Scotty.
Yeah. How about gifts? Anybody get any interesting gifts? Oh, Chris, you got a gift. You're wearing a gift.
I'm wearing my new Barstool Golf sweatshirt. I actually got a massager or a jacuzzi.
For what?
The testicle. Oh. Can you share the image? Can you share the image?
Let me see if I can.
Don't go crazy. Find
it. Yeah, quickly.
I saw it was like a little nest.
Wait, so that was a real gift?
Water bubbling up.
And Pat, can you find it? Pat, go link to it.
It's a testicle. Testicle jacuzzi. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hold it a little bit. Yeah, perfect. That's perfect. No, no, go in closer. Testicuzzi. Oh, hold on. I'm gonna highlight you so you're spotlighted.
You know when you're off camera and you listen to Joey,
do run for it one more time, Chris. Replay that one more time.
I'm so sorry, people.
That is. Why does it say Joey Schumatau? Oh, don't put my order number up there. People are gonna go. So what kind of solution do you put in there? A little peroxide?
No, I think it has to be distilled water.
Distilled water?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Joe, that's a jacuzzi for two, by the way.
That's awesome. Okay, I gotta take this call. Chris, I'm gonna bring in Jeff Guzzi.
All right.
You lead the discussion.
Yeah, sure.
Jeff Guzzi, how you doing?
How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Jeff. Chris McCarthy.
Chris, how are you?
Good. Welcome to Good Morning Gloucester.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah,
I have to say, I totally forgot I have a huge fear of public speaking until just
about Yeah, I do too. Just be yourself.
How you doing?
So for those of you who don't know Jeff, he is the club champion of Bass Rocks. I got to throw that out there, Jeff.
Thank you.
That's a bravo, nice accomplishment. Bravo.
Is that the trophy in the back right?
Oh, yeah, it is, actually, with my – yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Teddy bear sticking out of it, but yeah.
A teddy bear sticking out of it.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I expect to be taking that from you next year, Jeff.
I was warned about that.
don't get too used to that being in your room. But when Jeff's not golfing, you may see him at Turner Seafood. He's an employee of Turner Seafood. If you haven't been to Turner's, you got to get there, especially for their fish and chips.
Best fish and chips in town.
Yeah, best fish and chips in town. So when
Jeff, are you on the fry laters?
They don't allow me on there, no. Well, I don't really allow myself on there. I do sometimes, yeah.
Nice.
Is it a difficult process or is it fairly simple?
No, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple, yeah.
Can you give us the recipe?
We really enjoy it.
I'm not allowed to divulge that information.
That's proprietary information.
Yeah.
So Jeff, when you're not working, when you're not golfing, it sounds like you've been busy putting forth your first album. You have a band. I guess you released your first album on December 14th. Congratulations. That's pretty cool. And I guess the name of the album is AFU, the LP of Living. So why don't you explain what that's all about?
So AFU is the band name and the album called the LP. It's actually kind of old material, I guess, at this point. But we decided, all my friends and I, we would make this project, and anyone who wanted to do whatever would contribute. So there's actually my really good friend Will Galanis and I recorded a ton of it in my parents' basement. probably from like late 2012 until I think the last time we recorded was July of this year. So there are a lot of starts and stops. A lot of people that play around Gloucester, like Zach Carell and Kate Berry and some of those guys that play with Will Kidder, the bass player, the Jerome band, he's a really good friend of mine. I guess, because they all wound up playing. Yeah, we wound up 15 songs. It was pretty cool. It was a blast to record. It's certainly raw. It wasn't ever finalized or anything, but...
What's your favorite song?
We're all really happy with it.
What's your favorite song on the album?
Probably You'll Never Know. I think the second track on there.
Is there any way we can hear a sample of it? Can you play some for us, Jeff? Do you have a recording we could hear? The type of music it is?
Is your music located on Spotify, or what formats online can we find that if we can't find a hard copy?
Hey, Scotty. It's on Apple Music and Spotify and YouTube under AFU, the LP of Living, with a apostrophe on the
end. Hey, this is off the screen, Jim. Did you write a lot of that? Or is just you were the instrumental part, or what?
I co-wrote a lot of it. Yeah. There it is there. I co-wrote a lot of it with Will Galanis, co-wrote a lot of it. Will Kidder wrote a lot of it. Renee McGilvery.
Are you looking for a trumpet player?
Do you play?
No, GMG Jim does.
Oh, get out. Yeah, we are, actually.
GMG Jimmy, he has a flugelhorn. He plays the flugelhorn.
Anyone who wants to play will find a way, because we want to do it again.
Oh, he's in. You're in, Jim.
A lot quicker and stuff. But I was laughing because I woke up from a text from Chris. Says Joe wants to know if you're playing any of your instruments on your show or on the show this morning. And I was like, no. And I'm laughing. You know, Joe Walsh once said, just because you can play him or write him doesn't mean you can play him. So,
No, I was more interested in having like a so that people could talk about like that you created an album, but like to get the point across to people that might want to have it, like so that they could hear a sample. I thought that
where can we get it? Where can we get this album?
No, you don't. Nowadays, you don't go and buy the physical album.
Right. Well, what do you mean you don't go buy it?
You still got a record player, don't you?
Well,
Jeff, if you haven't figured out, our audience skew is very old.
I got all my cassettes here. I can't believe that when we started recording it, I was like,
Jeff, you gotta love cassettes.
I'm like, we'll just give away copies of the CD to everybody, but we did that.
Jeff, here's a perfect segue for you. How about giving away a CD on GMG as next week's prize?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah,
nice, Scotty.
We need to make real copies anyways, because by the time that that we finished the album, no one was listening to CDs anymore. So
right. So Jeff, I noticed in reading your Facebook page that the name of your production company is Uncle Joe Productions.
Yeah.
So Joe Shimataro, is he an investor in your band?
I didn't even think about that. It was named years ago, actually, after Joe Orange.
Joe Orange. Wow.
Remember Joe Orange? He was
shorts everywhere in the winter and everything.
Yeah.
That was his big thing. He was the protector of Dogtown.
He was Camp Spindrift and stuff, and he was good friends with my grandfather. And so we named it Uncle Joe Productions. But Chris, you saw me. I got it from him. Chris saw me out there shoveling in sandals the other day. So
yeah, I did. I did. That's right.
When you asked if it was Uncle Joe Productions being Joey Shimataro, it would have made sense that the album started in 2012 and just finished now.
Wow. That's a rough cross.
Yeah.
Rough cross.
Wow.
That's funny.
So I have a question for you about the album. What was the concept of the album, and how did you pull that all together with your friends and decide who wanted to contribute what? Like, walk us through the process of how one makes an album to put out in the public from your private writings and musical talents.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I wanted to do it, and we had a bunch of friends that were playing. God, we were probably only 22 at the time, 21, I think. And I'd wanted to do it for a long time. So we just, I mean, my friend had a lot of demos. I guess I was the producer of it. And me and my friend Will Galanis, and we started writing and recording, and then it kind of just sat there for a long time, and I did a lot of editing, but I got really sick of it too. So finally, we this year decided to go. We had brought equipment and everything, so I was going to get these hard drives shipped out to some place somewhere in Western U.S. in the West, and then COVID hit. And all the businesses got shut down, and they weren't going to be able to repair our hard drive. So I was like, forget it. This thing's never going to come out. But it, we did end up finishing it October, November this year.
That's an avenue I never thought was, you know, I never thought of, is like when your computer crashes and having that fixed. I mean, technology, look at us now. We're on technology. If that ever crashes, you know, so that's a good point.
Yeah, and it spanned for such a long period of time that there were so many different drives and locations where our files were and stuff that I didn't really think that that anything would crash. I didn't really think much of it, but
Bender Davis says your grandfather Will Guzzi was a great guy.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was awesome.
He was. And she also says there's nothing like vinyl, and I didn't take Brenda Grimes Davis for one of those kinky catsuit vinyl labels. I didn't realize.
I have to agree as a DJ that there is nothing like that. Absolutely not.
Yeah. I wonder if her daughter Kylie knows about this.
A lot of artists, like today's artists now, are releasing albums on vinyl again, just FYI.
I know. Yeah, we looked into it. It was like an hour. It was an hour and a minute long, the whole vinyl thing. And it was going to cost way more than I make to put it up. But getting back to your question, I think that the funny thing was, I told someone this right before it came out. I'm like, I got so worried about how it sounded and cleaning up the best sounding tracks we had and everything. And I'm like, man, I totally forgot that all the stuff we wrote is really personal. I'm like, I didn't even think about that. And then
did it bring you back in time, certain memories, maybe a certain significant other, or like where you were in your life at that time? I mean, some of the songs still hold up to when you wrote them to now and relate to, or?
Yeah, absolutely. Good memories and bad memories, I guess, but definitely.
Right on, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Well, is there anything you want to add, Jeff, before we let you go?
No, if you guys want to check it out, that'd be awesome. There's a couple, I mean, there's 18 songs that I'm sure it's not everyone's cup of tea the whole way through, but there's got to be a couple songs people like, I think.
I'm looking forward to it. And Will, did you say it was on Spotify or not? Because I can embed Spotify music on the blog.
I'm happy to send you the link to it too, Joe.
Send me the link to it, and I can actually embed it in the podcast post on Good Morning Gloucester, so people will be able to listen to the whole thing right there.
Oh, awesome.
The Spotify link is in the notes.
I understand. I can
adding it for the people.
Thank you so much. I'll be able to embed that from the notes to Good Morning Gloucester, the blog post for the actual podcast. So thank you.
Joey, did we ever learn what AFU stood for?
I was afraid to ask, to be honest.
Yeah. AFU.
It stands for AFU. It's Japanese.
okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to put him on the spot.
So you're going to ask the hard questions here, Joe. This is an interview.
It's true.
But I just got to give a shout out to, there's probably 20 different musicians on the album, which is really, that all contributed, which was a lot of fun. So
Well, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe. That's awesome.
Good luck, Jeff.
Thank you, Chris.
We'll see you this week for some fish and chips.
All right, Joe. Sounds good.
What days do you work?
I'll be in at noon today if you
want. Jimmy, you're going there for lunch. All right, we'll see you. We'll see you a little bit. He'll bring his Google horn.
Thank you.
That was great. He was a great guest.
Yeah.
We're batting two for two right now. Yes. Two fantastic guests.
What a way to close up 2020.
Yeah, it went. 2020 went just like this, and now it's going to go just like this.
Two for two. Quick loss to Matt. That's batting 1,000, Joe.
So this is an interesting topic. I did the post when I heard about it, but the highway exit numbers are going to change to reflect mileage. So they're not going to be
linear, sequential.
They're not. Can you touch fingers? They're not going to be 13, 14, 15 going out of town. Look at these guys. Two fucking class clowns right here. Stick his finger in his ear. but what do you guys think about that? And so, okay, I'm going to give you my 2 cents on it first. At first, I was really bummed out because I knew them all. And I could say, an exit number to Kate, my wife, and she doesn't know them by the numbers. She knows them by
the town,
geographical,
whatever.
like Gordon College exit or the Wingasheek exit or whatever. But I think that in the long run, this is going to be a huge improvement. Like, you know how the United States is stuck on inches instead of using the metric system?
Mm-hmm.
There are absolute benefits to going millimeter, centimeter, you know, because they're definite, you know, units that are quantifiable and stuff like that. Like inches are so random and eighths of an inch and stuff like that. Milliliters and everything, it's just so much more precise. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually, despite the pain initially trying to get used to it, I think in the long run, for navigation purposes, you know.
See, I think kind of just the opposite, because if you know the exit numbers and they're sequential, you have an idea where you are in the range. And if it's by mileage, mileposts.
But if it's going up or going down,
how do you know what the end is?
Well, there were two exit 40s too, I think, weren't there?
Oh, are there?
On 128.
Oh.
Yeah, so they.
So here's my chime in on it. I think that all the people that are supposed to be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, won't end up on Cape Ann and Gloucester.
They will.
Still?
No, you're saying that you think it's a better thing? They'll be able to find Gloucester or no?
They'll be able to find New Hampshire instead of Gloucester, or Gloucester instead of New Hampshire. It'll differentiate that, like, that confusing turnoff. I can't tell you how many times in the summertime that, you know, we get stopped by a car and say, hey, can you tell us how to get back to 95? We're I'm trying to get to New Hampshire, and they missed that 95, and they're on 128 all the way down. So, I mean, that still could happen, but the numbers, I think, should be helpful.
Yeah. Chris, do you have a take on this?
I don't really give a shit.
You hire somebody to drive your ass. It doesn't matter.
I get it is going to take getting used to, but
you can look at your camera.
Yeah, it is going to take.
Hi, Pat.
But as somebody who occasionally takes a nap in the car while Jim is driving, and I wake up and I will have no idea how many exits have gone by. Yeah. So, Bob has a comment to share with us.
Go ahead.
It's for GPS, so no trucks end up on Pavilion Beach.
Pepsi
truck.
Yeah.
It was a Pepsi truck, wasn't it? Thanks for joining us, Safatia. Paul Gamber's been commenting a lot, which I love that. Again, we're going to go back to if you share the podcast, you have a chance to win this 2021 Maritime Gloucester calendar. Really great old photos, kind of all dovetails in with our first guest of old schooners and stuff like that. Stories on the back. Great, great gift. So if you share the podcast and you write share it in the notes, at the end, we're going to pick someone to win that. So there's that.
Joe, one of the things that Paul posted was about Joe Orange. I guess he passed away this year.
Was it this year or a couple years ago?
It looks like the article is April of 2020. He died at the age of 97, and there's a great picture of him in his shorts in the winter. He's standing in snow in shorts.
Can you share the screen, Chris, with the go right up to it. There you go. Perfect.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Joe Orange, well known around town. Gloucester legend, right there.
He was part of the retirement group at McDonald's with all the other retirees. They had a huge McDonald's retiree group, and Joe Orange would spend, my father included, Bobby Ryan from CADA, Dr. Neil Mann, some of the ex-city workers and police, so that I got to see Joe often. It was really nice.
That's great. Trish Clinch, who donated the soaps last week, actually a couple weeks, I said she had to give a guy directions to Maine from Annisquam. He drove all the way around Cape Ann in a circle three times before he stopped to ask on her walk how to get to Maine.
There it is. Exactly my point.
Hey, I got a question for you guys, being a newbie here now to Cape Ann. What's this with the shorts and the sandals? I mean, we saw Crazy Call with his. He was a picture, and now we're hearing about Joe. And this, I've seen a few other guys, too. Is that part of, who needs the coats and the snow outfits and everything else in Gloucester? Is that,
well, just Tom Walsh, the football coach, Tom Walsh, he was notorious for shorts, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Gloucester football.
It's a hard-o thing. It's like,
Jim, we're a lot tougher than you New Yorkers. That's basically what it comes down to.
Wow.
Okay.
Whose thing was this? Family holiday dinner options for Missourian for takeout.
Oh, that was us.
All right, give it to us.
Yeah, we took home, ordered from the Azorian the family holiday dinners. We got the baked haddock and mashed potatoes, and they were outstanding. They were advertised for 4 to 6 people. It was the perfect amount. It was easy. Did the ordering, went in, picked it up. It was nicely packaged, easily transferred, and delicious when we had them, and everybody enjoyed it. So I thought that was hands down a great deal.
So who's their chef? Manny, I think, is their chef over at Azorian, mm-hmm. right?
I'm not sure at Azorian.
Manny, but he's tremendous.
Did you say that? Are you patronizing the Portuguese people in our community because there are 95% of them are named Manny? Is that what you're doing there?
No, I like to eat there, and the food is delicious.
The food is fantastic there. You can't say enough about that place. It is
never had a bad experience. It's clean. It's
affordable.
Well done.
Great affordable lunch there. Tremendous. And that's a reason. That's a reason why the place is packed all the time. Christmas trees. Who's taking them up? Who took them down yesterday? Who's taking them down this week? And who's going out past a week?
So that was my topic. I was watching the football game yesterday, and in a matter of 45 minutes, Charlene had our tree down. It was one of the quickest. I mean, we're usually the day after New Year, or New Year's Day is usually the day that we take the tree down. But, a very unusual year. And Charlene said, I've had it. We had a real tree, and the thing was, I think it had a bout of COVID. It was shedding every pine needle, and she just wanted it out of the house. So I think it was the quickest turnaround for us. Disappointing, but just 2020 for you.
How about you, Scotty?
I didn't have a tree, but I did have something else here in my house. I have a palm tree in here, so that was kind of like the decoration.
Did you put lights on it?
Yes.
All right, so it counts. It counts as a Christmas tree.
Hold on.
Whoa.
This was my big Christmas right here.
That's awesome. I love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, the sandals and everything. Joe Orange.
Joe Orange with the shorts.
There you go.
Tough class.
Joey Foot, very valuable information. Curbside pickup for trees is January 11th to 15th. So that's great information.
That's very good.
A lot of times, I haven't got the press release yet. I usually get it. I think that, I don't know if it's the Boy Scout troop from Rockport or Gloucester does a Christmas tree pickup, and you give them $5, and they get it out of your way.
That's right.
You can't be around from the 11th to the 15th. I would have liked to take it down yesterday. But Connor asked actually for, I think Connor wanted it to stay up for a little bit longer. So we're going to keep it up a little bit longer.
Now, the big question is, do you leave the fake ones up longer because you don't have to worry about the cleanup versus the real ones that, you know, when Christmas rolls around, they're pretty much dead already?
Paul Orion O'Brien says they take this down New Year's Day or right after New Year's. I kind of agree with that. That's kind of been a long-standing tradition with my family. I don't know about you, Kathy. You had the quickest turnaround, but have you ever had a fake tree and left it up longer?
Not too far after New Year's Day. I mean,
what about lights on the outside of the house?
They stay on all year. What are you talking about?
They stay on until the summer.
I think this is interesting. Arlie Pett says there's a farm in Rockport that they feed the trees to the goats. I didn't know goats eat Christmas trees.
And Paul Ryan O'Brien has an interesting comment.
What does she say?
She says fake stays up longer.
Yeah.
Well, have you
Sunday
ever seen
morning,
those?
Paula.
Have you ever seen? Oh, that's terrible. It took me a while there. Have you ever seen those huge bags that you could put over your whole Christmas tree?
Yes.
And then when you're lugging them out, the pine needles don't go
over.
Oh, everywhere.
You know what I saw this morning on online? No, I think it was Twitter. And it said the classic Saudi video. And it's some guy on the third floor pushing his Christmas tree out the window, his live Christmas tree. Out the window of his apartment or house or whatever, so that it landed on the street next to the garbage
can. Wow. You could share that. That'd be great.
I'll see if I can find it again.
In New York, we have the woods behind us, so it's part of the tradition to knock it all down, drag it out, and then my kids, we drag it out to the woods and we find a new spot. Because we were living there, 30 years, and so we have 30 trees that are out in the woods.
A Christmas tree bonfire would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess nowadays you can't do that nowadays.
Well, you could.
Well, no, it's the COVID. You can't have everybody.
Oh,
right? God forbid, right? Yeah. So this year, Scotty, you're going to love this.
Okay.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention.
I love this.
Scotty loves it when I say that. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my sister, who really went over the top and made our holiday super special this year with all the food that she prepared and gingerbread cookie decorating stuff, and she did a phenomenal job as she always does. But you know, we kind of weren't in the mood to go crazy this year, and. Mm-hmm. But she did it just right. It was just enough great food and company. And
I heard a rumor about your sister.
Go ahead.
It was rumored that she had made these hot chocolate bombs. Is that true?
She was frantically making them yesterday.
Wow.
And they weren't very easy to make, I guess.
I heard they were very difficult.
Or the thing of it is, I think it was, there was a critical time where they were coming together, or like the chocolate was forming and she had to put the decorations on them. I'm guessing this is what it was. And she was very, what are you doing, Chris? What is he doing?
They're coming together. They had to come together and fuse themselves together.
But anyway, they looked ridiculous. I think she did them mainly for her kids because BJ's going back to New York and stuff like that. So
I heard from Heather at Audrey's Flower Shop because they did have some for sale there that they had in, and they were amazing. And then she had mentioned that there was a couple people, and Dee Dee had mentioned that your sister was one of the two people she heard in town making them, and because they were very difficult. So,
but Felicia, be clear.
Not for sale.
Not yes. For sale. She'll lose her mind.
Right. Yeah. Not for sale. But she's going to send them as gifts.
The paratroopers to her house if they think that she's.
No, not for sale. She didn't say that.
Right. Right. I know. But we have to make sure that they know because they'll paratroop in. what triggered me on this topic though was this year we usually get a little bit bigger clams, and we got little necks this year to do the big stuffed clams, and the little ones were really good because you got more of a concentration of the clam to stuffing, and I would do it the same way. I would get little necks every year from here on out. Safati says Grace Jumbanko made them and they were very difficult. Yeah. But if you're going to do baked stuffed clams, get little necks is what Felicia said. They were hard to get this year. The clams are hard to get this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know why, but
everything was, I stopped at Fisherman's Wharf and I wanted to buy some octopus salad, sold out, squid salad, sold out. I wanted to buy some bacala, sold out.
Did you see the line that they had? The line was
yeah. Terrible. Oh, the line was huge. I
had a little Facebook meltdown about that line. Everybody went sideways. He's like, I'm like,
any trip for Christmas?
It was Christmas Eve. Like, there's always traffic on Christmas Eve.
I think it was Christmas Eve. It was the day before Christmas.
Well, everybody's going bananas trying to get the last minute presents. The people that never go out are going out at that time. So I think he was.
Hey, I was one of those people, Joe.
Yeah, but you go right. And you didn't get your stuff.
Safati makes a very good point. Yeah.
But people are not able to go to restaurants. Everyone's trying to do the seven fishes. Yeah, no, it's a great point. I mean, mm-hmm. I think the stuff. I wanted to try the. Who shared a picture of the seafood salad? Was it from Captain Vito's or was it from them?
I bought some squid salad from them.
Oh, those had all the different seafood salad. It looked great.
And how about the abundance of sea urchins? I know Safathia had some Christmas either Eve or day, but I'm dying to stop someplace and get some sea urchins.
So. Trish Clinch says she loves clam pie. She's a big fan of clam pie.
Yeah, Fisherman's Wharf clam pie.
I'm a huge fan of clam pies too. I think they're delicious.
Check, and please.
I advocate for clam pie.
Look at what time it is.
Safathia says clam pie is heaven. So I didn't know. I didn't know that. So regifting. Let's get on to our regifting. I gotta go around. I'm gonna start with Scotty Mac. Would you rather re-gift or ask for a receipt? Or just throw it in a pile someplace that you're just kicking it around inside your house forever and ever and ever?
All right, option three. It kicks around in my house forever and ever because I know myself, I'm very difficult to buy for. Because when I need something, I'm pretty self-sufficient. I go out and get it myself. I get a certain style. Everybody's kind of set in their ways. Although I like giving gifts more than anything. So I could be on the opposite end of that comment and I give a gift and it's great. And then it sits in their house. Who knows? Yeah. And I pride myself on the gifts that I get for my friends and family. But to answer your question direct, I have not re-gifted a gift. It sits in my house and I'm not, I may have received a re-gift, not known it, and no harm, no foul.
All right, Chris, what do you do? Oh, Jimmy, you go after Chris.
I think it depends on who gave it to me. If it's a family member, close family member, I'll ask for the receipt so I can buy something different. But if it's from Joe or Pat or Scotty, I'll just accept it and give it to somebody else at some
point. Now we all have to wonder if he hated our gift.
Well, the fact that I
left that
the gift that I got from Pat and Jimmy, it's an empty bottle.
That does not surprise me.
I mean, who gives someone an empty bottle?
Well, it depends who is delivering it.
I'm guessing that had to do with the initials and PD. Her reputation precedes itself.
She carries her own straw, you know, folks.
Jimmy, it seemed like you had something to say on the topic.
So. Oh, well, I was just putting my hand up to get my picture, my name in there. But what do you call going to Bananas and Second Glance regifting? Because I love going there.
No. That's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because that's a good one, though. There
and give it out to people. And somebody probably turned it in because it was sitting around a long time. So
try gifting.
So Sophia comments in that she regifts during a swap party.
Yes, very good point.
Well, that's what it is. Right?
I mean, I think that's part of the fun in the game is to be competitive and see who can swap up, trade up, and trade down. That is live, and that's right there. So I agree with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How hard is it to in those Yankee swaps? Are you aggressive? Who's on a scale from 1 to 10? How aggressive are you on a Yankee swap? Pat is a 0. Scotty, what are you?
If I have my eye on something, I kind of try to move towards that. That's part of the fun. But overall, it's just all fun. So whatever comes my way comes my way.
And Chris, how about you? I'm
a 10. I'm a 10. Yeah. We had a work. Yankee swap and I took something from my manager. That's how aggressive I am.
Ooh. Hey. Whoa, Peabody has something after you finish, Chris.
All is fair in love and Yankee swaps.
Yes.
Gifting.
Yeah. Whoa, Peabody has anyone re-gifted to the original giver? Maybe knowingly or unknowingly.
Right. That's a good one.
Oh, that would be embarrassing.
How about
let Lord be clear, not that I have.
who leaves the price tag on their gifts?
Depends on when you wrap it. If you're scrambling Christmas morning before you go someplace, you got to make sure.
I'm real big about. I will destroy a cover trying to get the tag off.
Do you leave the price tag on a bottle of wine before you gift it? Have you ever done that?
Not on purpose.
That has happened, but not on purpose.
If it's $100 bottle of wine, I leave it on.
You have a swap stickers.
I do swap stickers. Right? I buy a $10 bottle of wine and I put a $100 tag on it.
Yeah. You got that label maker, Chris. I see it.
All right, go around. Favorite gift, Jimmy. Go ahead.
For this Christmas, favorite gift?
Yeah, what was
I'm
your
wearing. I have the the.
Oh, you got the vest with the USB plug that heats it up.
Absolutely, and it's it's
nice.
Great.
Those are nice.
Yeah, that's a great gift.
Pat, what was your favorite gift?
I think it might be the Ryan Clan scarf from Ireland that my brother and sister-in-law surprised me with yesterday. It's beautiful.
It's a scarf?
It's a, yes.
Nice.
That's wool scarf.
Oh, wool scarf.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very
Merino,
nice.
You know, Irish wool.
Irish wool, mm-hmm. Very nice. For Chris, what was your favorite gift?
I gave her a bunch.
since I'm spinning these days, Charlene bought me a spinning outfit, the tight shirt and tight shorts.
Oh, I thought she liked us.
Spidey. I mean,
I thought you were going to say the testacuzzi.
No, in all seriousness, Charlene gave me a cigar humidor that was handmade by my next door neighbor.
Wow.
He's a great woodworker, and he handmade this thing. I got to show it to you, Joe, because if you're a cigar smoker and you need a humidor, this guy does great work. So,
does it have the piece in it that holds the moisture to keep it even?
Yeah, the cedar. Yeah, it has all the cedar. It's got the thermometer or the humidor, the thing that keeps track of the humidity.
Hydrometer.
The hydrometer. There you go.
Yeah. So, wow, that's fantastic.
You must have been really good.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah.
Safathia says she loves you.
Oh, I love you too.
Safathia.
She doesn't know my name.
Safathia, what was your favorite gift, Safathia? Why do I scream? I have a thing where I scream.
Because you got the thing in your
No, I really do. No, I have to calm down because I think they can hear me. But I'm always screaming when I'm talking. Questions.
Earbuds in, Joe, so it makes so you think that because the earbuds are in, you got to project your voice.
I think it's no. I just have a thing where I'm like screaming all the time. Good point, Pat. Time is running out to share the podcast. You share the podcast and type in "shared" in the comments. You have a chance to win this awesome 2021 Maritime Gloucester calendar.
We can't hear you, Chris.
Michael DaCosta. What was my favorite?
Yeah.
My favorite gift was probably the gift of peace and being able to watch football on Christmas and hanging out with my daughters and Kate and stuff. So, and Felicia's cooking and my mother's cleaning. I have to mention those because they were paramount in our things. Kate says my lights in the kitchen. I know I do scream. Thank you, Paula. Svati says the lights in my kitchen and upstairs I was at work came home. Oh, she had new lights. That was her favorite thing. I screamed because I'm on the wharf. That's probably true because Brenda would know this.
So Svati says now I can see he needs to paint.
That is what happens when
down the wharf there's all these pumps grinding away in my ears.
Hey, Joey, I just want to make a mention to you because you won't do it yourself. So I would be remiss if I did not mention the calendars that you made with your prints. A lot of people purchased those. It was a limited number of those calendars available. So thank you, Joey. I was told it was one of their favorite gifts. They loved it for the person I gave that to. So thank you.
Thanks. And I still have prints that some prints are still available at Cape Ann Coffees. You can purchase if you need a gift, last minute gift.
Yeah, we did. We gave one of those away and it was very popular also. Jim, what did you, Jim Capillo over here sitting in the silent sphinx
silent
over
mode.
Here. Yeah.
Actually, I got a very nice drone for Christmas.
Mm.
My little ones. I'm a gadget guy, so it was fun. Drove the cats nuts in the house.
Well, today's going to be a nice day, or is it too cold?
Oh, it's never too cold.
It's never okay. Well, for some people it might be, but yeah, yeah, I would agree. Yeah, some years I'm so happy with the gifts that I chose. You know, there's usually one gift that I'm really tickled that I was able to give to somebody. This year, I didn't get that, and I think it was general about Christmas this year that was different. So I was a little disappointed myself about that, but we had a great day.
I was happy. Yes. Huh?
Pat Delpiez, I noticed that we haven't done a roll call once today.
Oh, yes. Well, very early we did, yes. But, yeah, let's do that. Our neighbor, Brian Hurley, Casco Hurley.
This is the best spot because we do it. All right, let's count how many names she fucks up.
Oh, here we go.
She gets my favorite parts.
Here we go. Paula Ryan O'Brien, Darlene Moulton, Brenda Grimes Davis, welcome back. Safathia, thanks for joining us. Let's see, let's back it up here a little bit. We had Lowell Peabody. Did I do that one right?
You did.
Okay, thank you. Devlin J. Brackett. Welcome. And
she's picking the one she can
say. Am I doing okay so far? Oh, Nina. Mina and Trisha Clint.
See how she skipped over?
Yeah, Nina. I did. I slid over that one. I'm sorry, Nina.
Nina.
Joy, you get the same black
Brenda Shockley Leahy. Thank you, Brenda, for joining us. Arlie Pat. It was actually because I couldn't remember Nina's name exactly. Now here it is. Nina Testaverde Goodick.
Testaverde. Just say Testaverde. It's all right.
I got
Joey Foot, of course. Thank you, Joey.
I got one of Joe's calendars, but it was a 2019, so I think it was a regift.
Vintage.
Yeah, those are worth more money. You're lucky. Safatia says she watches this when she makes her Zugu on Sunday mornings.
Oh, nice.
Hey, Ralph DiGiorgio is watching.
Hey,
Ralph's watching.
He better not let his wife hear because she might think that she can get COVID by watching this through the TV. Amanda Armstrong is with us from the Amanda Armstrong Group, one of the most powerful agents in the Western Hemisphere as far as real estate agents. Amanda Armstrong Group.
There's breaking news, Joe, on that. There's a Netflix series coming out with her on her group.
Is it really?
No.
Speaking of Netflix series, I watched the Gloucester cheese rolling documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it was so crazy because I was just there like 7 months ago. And I highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah, I watched it too.
Gloucester is one of four sister cities. Has four sister cities. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize one of them. I forget which one.
I watched it too, and you got to watch the one right after that, the hot pepper eating contest. Oh,
unless you have a strong stomach.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Amazing one.
Yeah, so the name of the series is We Are the Champions, and
there's only about six episodes.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Dog dancing. The dog dancing one is kind of adorable.
Yeah, and jump, frog jumping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
And the hair.
Oh, and the hair, the fantasy.
Oh, the hair.
Fantasy hair. Joe, post-COVID, when we can all get together, I think we need Safathia to make us some sugo, and we need some pasta and sugo on one of your podcasts.
Sugo. Z with a Z. Zugo.
I call it gravy.
She told you she loved you, Chris. Yep. She said, "I love Chris. Not anymore. You're all
not anymore."
Different devices right now.
She just flung her wooden spoon across her kitchen. She really does need paint.
She's
we have absolutely F you.
F you.
Trouble. You're on thin ice right there, kid.
That's like the album AFU from earlier.
Uh-huh.
I know. I'm psyched about that. I'm excited that we can actually embed that on the podcast. Yeah. All right. So we got bailed out on 2 weeks in a row by Superintendent Ben Mr. Luke Loomis.
He might have a few other things in his mind.
He might. But what could be more important than this? So how many shares
we're
do we have?
Up to 17.
17 shares. You have 10 seconds to share the podcast and type shared. We're gonna pick the winner.
Hey Joe, I got something. It's gonna be this is technically our last podcast in 2020, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Maybe. Yeah.
So why don't you go around and let everybody just do a message? To everyone.
Oh, I got a message. Yeah. All right, I'll finish up.
I think Safathia shared a message.
So Safathia definitely shared a message. Safathia says to Chris, she called the Zugu gravy. He says, I hope you fall off your spin cycle and hit your jewels.
That's a jacuzzi for them.
Yeah, then you could dip them in the testacuzzi. Put a picture of the testacuzzi.
Please.
Hold on. Yeah. So I'm gonna go around. You guys say your 2020 message.
Well, basically, I don't know if I have words for it, but I did find one of those things that you can put up on your screen where somebody put joy up and the J fell down because of the wind and all that was left was oi. And I've been putting that up there the whole time saying, that's what I'm thinking of 20. Oi.
There you go. Oh, we got a couple late sharers. This is great. All right. We're gonna pick it. So, Pat, what is yours? Share it and type shared. You can win this.
It's been a year. I'm imagining myself in about 10 years going, what year was that when this happened? You won't have to do that. Nobody's going to have to do that.
Right. No one's going to have to wonder about what they did in 2000 in this year. So is that it?
Yes.
Jimmy Capillo, you have anything to say?
Thank God it's over.
Thank God it's over. It's from you. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that for, I think if this year taught anything, I think that you can really easily fall down into a pit of despair. And it's super easy if you're predisposed to have depression issues. Depression is a real problem for a lot of people. And if you have suicidal tendencies, there's help. There's people out there that'll listen to you and help. This is what I would say. During this year, it was a very difficult year for a lot of people, but I think that there were a lot of things that were absolutely enhanced. The amount of time we spent with our immediate family, whether it was certain kind of hobbies that we picked up, like I picked up baking bread. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the time that I had with my family. And doing family dinners quite a bit more often and stuff like that. So I think if you have your, like, and there's always people that have things that are far worse than your situation. So you have to be thankful and practice gratitude for what you have. Like, I look around in my situation, I still have a job. I have a beautiful wife, I have beautiful children. My sister, mother, and brother-in-law and her kids, they're all fantastic. I have beautiful friends that mean the world to me. And there are people that, like, and especially health. Like, if you have your health, you're so far ahead of these people that are dealing with problems like cancer and other type of things. So, like, focus on what you have and not what you don't have and what you can't do. If you're stuck at the house, try to create some like fun things to do. I am really, really, thankful for my situation. And I think that if you're feeling depressed, practice gratitude. Honestly, it's just every morning, if you start going into despair, think about your health, think about your family's health, think about your beautiful children. And think about the good things in your life. And I think that it's really an important, important message. I think people take it for granted a lot of times. So I'm going to leave you with that, and we're going to pick our winner. What's the numbers?
We are up to 19.
Joey, before you pick your winner, I'd like to make my closing statement.
Go ahead.
To quote the late, great Robert Nesta Marley, Bob Marley, every little thing is going to be all right. That's it right there. That's my message to you. Every little thing is going to be all right. 2020 is going to be behind us. 2021 is coming up. And well put, Joey, and everybody else. Thank you, guys.
There was a time in my life when I was kind of – I had a bad situation. And it wasn't my divorce. It was before my divorce. It was a long time before that. And I worried quite a bit about this certain situation. I worried unbelievably. I spent months worrying about this situation and like sleepless nights. And the it was coming to a head. It was coming to a finale. And what I feared for 2 months or 3 months of my life, the bad part of that absolutely did not happen. And what I discovered from that was the serenity prayer, because I was kind of like really depressed about it. And the serenity prayer is, you have to, you know, you control what you can. If something's out of your control, there's no, absolutely no use in worrying about it, because you're going to lose that time that you can't get back. And what I found out over the years, once I discovered the Serenity Prayer, it didn't have anything to do with alcoholism, because I know that's an alcohol thing, or I think it is. Is it, Pat? Anyway, I'll move on. So what I've discovered was, oftentimes when there's something that I could have fretted about incessantly for months or days, years, and like 9 out of 10 times they didn't happen, and it just reinforced to me that there's, you really get out of that mindset and get into a positive mindset, and something positive that you can do. Throw yourself into some kind of project. I like to throw myself into projects, like whether it's trying to make the podcast better, or some, or a new calendar, or a new, you know, whatever. Do that, because more, and think about the times when you're fretting about a certain situation that they don't come through, so that maybe it'll help you for the next time, so you don't expend that much mental capacity worrying. All right. All right. We got 19 shares.
19.
All right. Oh my God! Are you fucking kidding? Don't move. Don't move anything. Don't move any wires over there, Jim, because we just went out. All right. We're almost home. We're almost home. Okay. Okay. Ready.
20.
And
last one is 21.
Ricky Cusick. That's it. I think he's entered, I think, most weeks, and this is his first win. Rick Cusick, you're the winner of the calendar. Nice, I like it. You come down the wharf, 95 East Main Street, pick up your calendar. You have to pick up. I'm only going to be here till Thursday. I'm not in, so if you're going to pick it up, you're going to pick it up then. Or maybe we could just come down today, because I'll be here all day today. Pick up your calendar. Thank you for watching. This is awesome. Great podcast, guys. We got Jimmy Capillo, we got Pat Dalpiaz, Jimmy Dalpiaz, Chris McCarthy, Scotty Mack. We had Matthew Murray, and we had Jeff Guzzi. Anybody I'm missing? I'm your host, Joey Schimmertau. This is GlosterCast 4. What is it? 55. 455. We're signing out.
Joey, don't sign out yet. Don't sign out yet. We need Jim Dalpiaz to close us out for the last time.
Yeah, come. Okay, yeah, hold on. Come over here, Jimmy. Don't touch any wires.
Oh, boy, there's lots of wires.
Don't touch any wires. I'm going to murder you. Just kidding. Go ahead, buddy. Oh, wait. I'm going to make you full screen now.
Jimmy, I can see your nose hairs.
Ladies and gentlemen, no piping plovers were injured in the making of today's podcast. Thank you and Happy New Year.